It's the Metal Show with Gully and Joe, and we're back. And this week, we decided to do some more Sabbath, Sabotage. It's the sixth studio album by Black Sabbath, come out in July 1975. And apparently, is a random fact, it was chosen because the band were being sued by the former management, and they thought they were getting ripped off by them. So there's my interesting but useful intro.
Yeah, it was. I did try.
I've got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Just turning round, I can count 5 books on Black Sabbath. And I really did intend on having a good old research session, but I ended up just reading the liner notes in the booklet.
Well, that's definitely progress.
I'm sure some random facts have come into my head as we go along, because my memory is like a random filing cabinet. It's all in there, it's just out of order. But yes, you're absolutely right. I can't remember exactly what was going on at the time. Sharon's dad must have had something to do with it.
More than likely.
Mind you, he still managed the band after Ozzy left, didn't he? So it might not have been him. But something had something to do with record labels and that, and they were in a court case, and they were working, basically all their money was going on lawyers, and they're all pissed off. No doubt, the probably on a bit of a come down as well, because they were high as a kite.
Had to spend money on something other than cocaine.
Yeah, so there was a bit of angst in the studio at the time, and everyone was pissed off. So apparently they were at court during the day and in the studio at night. So, but whatever was going on, it worked, because this album is fucking awesome. I had terrible internet during the Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath episode. Do you remember with Mark?
Yeah.
Acid Rain. Do you want to have a brief recap on that before? How did you rate the album? What's a quick sum up of?
Well, that would be Sabbath. If I could remember it. One, I can't, put me on the spot. Two, I still can't, even though I've been put on the spot. Let's just say it's a good album.
Okay. Generally speaking, I find with people, with mates and, you know, forums and whatnot, generally speaking, Sabotage is the underrated album of the original 8 albums. But I find a bit of a misconception is that with Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, they really sort of reached their peak songwriting-wise. They really tried all different styles and approaches, got a bit experimental. Experimental is a double-edged sword, because you can get experimental like Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, or you can get experimental like Technical Ecstasy. And no spoilers, I'll read. But and then it seems like Sabotage was kind of like they dropped all that and went back to basics and went heavy again. I think Sabotage is just as experimental and weird as anything else. Just this time around, they pull it off.
I will see. Let's say when we first heard it. I heard it when I was living just in the flat down the road from where I am now in sunny Bootle, home of the Chav. I had it on vinyl and played it so much till it fucking scratched and jumped and shit. And and I remember when it actually got knocked off the record player and broke, and because pissed. And I just picked it up and it was flopping in the middle where it had snapped and stuff. So I just done the Hulk and Hulk smashed the motherfucker. But really good memories linked to this album. And that's when I heard it. I would have been about 18, 19 or something. That's when I heard it.
Sabotage, I wasn't too familiar with to beginning. Everyone listening to this regular knows as we're making our way through Sabbath's catalogue. So if you are new to the show, go back and listen to the first album and I'll tell you all about my memories of Sabbath, where I was pretty much baptized by them. But Sabotage, when I started getting pocket money and, you know, started working as a teenager and started buying my own albums, I bit by bit started buying all the Black Sabbath albums myself. And Sabotage was one of the albums that I hadn't heard from my dad's collection. Although he was a Sabbath fan, he wasn't like a hardcore fan, if you know what I mean. Zeppelin, he had everything they'd done. I think he had Black Sabbath on vinyl, and I think he had a cassette of Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath. And then as I grew up, I filled in the gaps, so that's when I heard Paranoid. I mean, how do you not hear Paranoid as a metalhead? You'll come across that song at some point.
Yeah, it turns up everywhere.
So Sabotage was one of the albums that I bought on my own. I suppose around 18, 19 was when I first heard it. I couldn't completely remember. And it was one of those ones you, every month you'd get one or two until eventually you had the whole collection. And then it's weird, really, because with Sabbath albums, the songs really do start bleeding into each other. And it's been quite, up until doing this series, focusing on an album on its own merit, rather, because all the songs kind of bleed into each other, a bit like the Beatles, catalogue.
Abbey
really.
Road's just one big song.
Yeah, and the Thin Lizzy back catalogue as well. You play a Thin Lizzy song randomly, I'll know it off by heart. But if you said to me what albums it's on, I'd have to think about it. That was just one consistent series, and especially back in those days, everyone put out like an album a year or two albums a year in some instances. But so that's basically, it became part of the collection at some point whilst filling in the gaps.
I think I started with it was probably bits off different albums, and then ended up getting the albums on CD or tape or vinyl like I had on this one.
Yeah,
it's just, you end up with all of them eventually. I think I've got most of them up on the wall.
Yeah.
It's this one for me was quite important because it was one of the few vinyl that I owned that I kept hold of. And I was wiring up this shitty old stereo with fucking, I had to make the speaker wires longer to cover the whole room so I could blast it. And I had a habit of blowing speakers because heavy metal blows speakers. So I'd always go in a second-hand shop, buy some beefy speakers, blow them, go and buy some more. And this album blew that a few times as well. Hole in the Sky, first song. I love this song. I played it till I killed this whole album. The jazzy bit is good. I love the main riff. It's a top opener. And shooting's easy if you've got the right gun. Lyrics mean fuck all, really, let's be honest. But this is a perfect opener. And everything about the first song is, for me, a perfect opener.
I know exactly what the lyrics of this song are about.
Go on.
I'm going to tell you. It's about being pissed out of your head on a sunny afternoon and being in a really good mood. And not giving a flying fuck about anything.
Ah, so like ever. Me on Saturday, hopefully it's sunny. I don't know.
On days that end in Y. Yeah. That was how I always, that was the impression I got of it. I'm just a bit like a supernova.
Yeah.
It was like this Superman, I'm going to fucking punch the sun in the face or whatever the fuck the lyrics go. And a bit like Jimi Hendrix's, I'll stand right next to a mountain and chop it down with the edge of my hand. Fuck William Shakespeare. Jimi Hendrix was the best poet.
Did he know it?
And yeah, I mean, I love this song. If I hear it sober, I want to get drunk. And if I hear it drunk, I'm instantly in a good mood. What a fantastic song. Have you heard Pantera's cover?
Yes, I have. Of course I have.
It's horrible, but it's brilliant at the same time.
It sounds weird, the sound quality on it as well. I don't know what the fuck they've done with it, but it sounds weird.
You can... Well, they probably fucking... The guy mixing it and recording it was probably pissed as they were. But I do kind of like it, though.
Love
I do.
This guy. It's not... It sounds like.
It was basically done in one take by the sounds of it. But then again, when Pantera did covers, they did covers for fun. It weren't like they were releasing it as a single or something
apart
like that.
Apart from Planet Caravan. Where was it?
Yeah, that was awesome. That was really
good. That was the one good one that I think was actually serious. The video was cool.
Was it The video was great. Yeah.
Stoner's Delight.
What album was it on? Was it on like a soundtrack or was it on those Nativity in Black?
I don't even fucking know. I think it was. I can't remember what album it's off.
I'm talking about Hole in the Sky now, by the way. Planet Caravans on Far Beyond Driven.
I'm trying to think. It might just have been on one of them fucking horror films that they were on, because they were on a few, weren't they? So probably a horror film.
There's two songs left over from Reinventing the Steel. One's on Heavy Metal 2000, the one's on Dracula. Because the only reason I've got the Dracula soundtrack is for that song. And I think it's the only reason I've got the Heavy Metal soundtrack as well.
Didn't like the films much, to be fair.
I like the original one, the one from the 80s. I think I had my first sexual experience watching that film.
Don't Start, it's just a bit of noise with guitars. It's a nice little ditty, but it's nothing really offensive. It's just there to be an intro for the song afterwards, I think.
There's a lot of these speckled about on those first eight albums, isn't there?
Little intro bit that you'll never hear live because it's only like a couple of seconds fucking long or something. But Don't Start. I have nothing more to say with that one, if I'm completely honest.
Yeah. With the review in it is longer than the actual song, so let's skip to the next one. The fucking monster.
When the riff kicks in, it's fucking brilliant. The lyrics actually make a little bit more sense on this one. And Bill Ward is a fucking animal. Sepultura's cover of this is fucking great as well. The fast bit is spot on. And the in the speeds up the solo. This is prime Sabbath right now. The soft bit, like, at the end of the song, I've said it about the Sepultura one as well, was picture yourself, it's Friday now, we're home recording this, you're just getting off the train, the sun is shining, and the music at the end of this song, the do-do-do-do-do-do-do, imagine that kicks in just as you're getting off the last train from work, and the sun's out, and you're thinking, I'm going to go for a pint. That's I'm going to go for a pint music. And amazing top song. And I adore this song. It's a great song. Even the cover was fucking spot on. Can't beat a good riff. And this is full of them.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. The little tropical bit actually at the end of this reminds me of the same sort of bit as Supernaut. It goes all weird, doesn't it? And it kind of reminds me of being on a beach or somewhere. But the opening to this track, though, is just fuck. It's prototype thrash metal for me. The fact that Sepultura covered it and covered it well as well. I wanted to cover this song when I was in Brutal Horizon with Rob, and Rob didn't want to do it.
Probably couldn't play it. Sorry, Rob, you can definitely play it, mate, yeah? Nah, I couldn't.
No, he was right, actually. He said the little tropical bit at the end.
Well, we there's this...
Off. And it was like, well, that fucked up.
Well, there was this
idea.
Band in Liverpool who was one of my mates at the time. I still kind of talk to him a little bit occasionally. He's in the Isle of Man or somewhere mad like that. And they covered this song, and they couldn't play it all. They had to stop it. I was just like, oh, man. Don't even play if you can't do it.
I suppose you could have just half like slowed it down a bit. Just dun, 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 and then just... Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, do a shit.
No one would... no one was expecting a miracle. Mind you, what does Sepultura do? I think they just make everything really fast.
No, they did the end. They did do a burn on. Yeah, they did do their own little funkier version of it. Like, it's a really good little cover. But this is fucking classic prime 100% fucking meaty Sabbath, this song.
Was that on Arise, that album? That's, or was it on Chaos AD?
I think it's Arise. I don't know.
Let's have a look.
Use the power of Google. Other websites for looking for porn are available. I love this track.
No, it was on the Nativity in Black, so it wasn't on any of your albums. Well, there you go. When we're finished, we'll have to do them at some point.
Yeah, I've got them. Nativity in Black, bought them.
Volumes
I bought
one and
it,
two.
Bought it, yeah, double good. Album when it came out. I haven't got it now, but Spotify's got it, so that's all good. Any more for Symptom of the Universe?
Just a fantastic song. Good. They don't really do it live either. They kind of just do the. They do a little medley. Do you remember that little medley at the end of the set where they just belt out a bunch of riffs? But I've got one album, a DVD. I think it's on the Never Say Die tour where they open with this, and it's fucking awesome. And yeah, like classic song. It speaks for itself. What can you say about this song? It's fucking fantastic.
Megalomania. I thought it needed like a bigger voice than what I've got. I was always a bit mixed with this one. I like it for what it is. It's a doomy Sabbath song. The change up on the song is pretty good. It doesn't stay doomy for long, but like it's 9 minutes and 42 seconds. This is a mashup of two songs together. I like the change up and it makes the doomy song sound so happy. And when the riff kicks in, but the second chorus on the, I would say, second song is better than the first doomy bit. But yeah, I really like the way they change it up. It's a really, really long song, but it's not the best one I've heard so far, but it's not fucking bad either, to be completely honest.
While we're on the subject of covers, this song was covered as
well. Who's done this?
Venom.
Never heard it, man.
With and it was on the first album with Tony Dolan. Primeval. And they really beef it up as well. And they kind of just kick in with the heavy bit at the end.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. It's very good. So that's a good album in general, actually. I think we should do that
at some
point.
Yeah, put it on the list.
Primeval by Venom. Fucking great album. And yeah, I love this song. I mean, it always surprises me, actually, that it's 9 minutes long, because this is one of I always say a measure of a good long song is that you never notice that it's long. And I love the sort of sinister, atmospheric beginning. It's like a soundtrack of a Hammer horror film. It sounds its age, but in the best way. You know, like when an old horror film looks its age, but remaking it would just be a terrible idea.
Yeah, I get you.
And I love the mist over the graveyard. You know, it's just really eerie at the beginning. I love the doomy build up, and then just at the, you know, when we get to that halfway mark, and then it just kicks into the dun 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 dun. I love as well, Ozzy with "Suck Me,
Fat Man."
Yeah. Something that Lee Doran of Cathedral adopted quite a lot. Normally when you have that little build-up, and then the song would kick back in, he used to give it stuff like "Huggy Bear, oh yeah! Smoke weed, get high!" And he used to do a lot of homages to Ozzy. Cathedral's another great band as well. I do think Cathedral were the sort of... the next in line after Sabbath. If you said, like, right, Sabbath have gone, who was the, you know, heirs
never,
to the throne?
I never got into
such.
Them. We should do one of their albums so I can get into them.
That's they've got a really underrated catalogue. The first four albums or so, like all bands of their, they it goes a bit dodgy in the middle, but then they find their feet and then it's really good again at the end. And, a really good like best of or a good like live set from Cathedral, where everything is a very good fucking, that'd be an awesome album and a good collection of songs. But yeah, back to Sabbath. Yeah, it is basically based on the first eight Sabbaths with Lee, though. A lot of people forget he sang on the first two Napalm Death albums. Left Napalm Death and then came out with Cathedral, and everyone was like, what the fuck?
Well, it might be the fact that like a lot of people who are in the heavier bands are probably smoking a fair bit of weed.
I think it was just like he'd split with Napalm Death. He split with them quite badly, actually. They're all good now because, well, no one's in the band from the original lineup now, but they were fucking kids at the time as well. Don't forget. I think they had a pretty shitty time on tour, probably just sick of each other, and they split up. And he basically went to the pub with a couple of mates, and he was kind of sick of playing music like 100 miles an hour anyway. He's like, that's all well and good, but I quite like Sabbath and St. Vitus and sort of doomy bands and that, and I think he got together. I think one of the original guitarists from Acid Rain was on the first Cathedral album as well. Ooh. It was one of those bands that a couple of bands split up, so everyone forms a new band, so it's this and them.
Like
a super
group thing?
Yeah, I don't think it was quite... it was all still underground.
Oh, yeah,
anyway,
underground supergroup.
It'd be a fucking supergroup now, put it that way. Yeah, I mean, the first Napalm Death album, second Napalm Death album, if they put out an album today, it'd definitely be considered a supergroup. You'd have to singer of Cathedral, guitarist of Carcass, drummer of Napalm Death and bass player Shane Embry on bass. But, anyway, bookmark that. We'll do Cathedral
yes.
at some point in
and
the
year. There's a nice cheese that has Cathedral in the name.
Yes.
The best cheddar. Very best cheddar.
But yeah, anyway.
Other cheddars are available.
When it kicks in at the end as well, dun, 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 you keep going away. Dun, 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 with the voice effects, heavy as fuck. Yeah. I love it.
So,
fantastic.
Thrill of it all, a nice bluesy riff to kick in the song, and then the wailing guitars. It's a nice little opening solo. It's really nice. The cheesy riff. Still know all the words though. The song changes up to a better bit, which I never really liked the beginning. I like the "and I'll show you a way to get high." Oh yeah, and "Tale of Two Songs" again with Sabbath, and obviously it is a lot with them. They tend to have two songs, and I think they glue them together. I like the second bit better, and it redeems itself through that first bit. No, I'm not really into it that much. The second bit's fucking amazing. It's like a euphoric sounding end of the song, so it more than makes up for the beginning shit.
Yeah, I like the bit at the end as well with the
It's like Doors. It's like the Doors. I've been listening to a lot of the Doors.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like some old 70s opening to a detective show or something
like
Quincy like
that. Or fucking
zooms out on some power plant or some city. Yeah. Like the opening to you had Thunderbirds and Captain Scarlet and Joe 90.
I could just imagine like someone doing like a little car race. With the little puppet.
Now I've got Captain Scarlet music in me head, for fuck's sake. Dun. There was always that one person in school who looked like Captain Black though, wasn't there? The fucking baddie one. There was always someone in class who just looked like fucking a murderer, like Captain Black. And like they were 13 and they had fucking stubble, and you're thinking, what the fuck? Serial killer in the making, fucking Mr. Ons.
He did something bad when he grew up, and you were that doesn't
fucking
surprise me.
Stretch your fucking tent. Yeah. Fucking no parole, probably. Where was we?
But nice, good little bit of groove at the beginning as well, with a da-na-na-na-na, da-na.
I don't mind it, and then it just, I don't know.
It's a bit of an odd one, because it doesn't really repeat itself much, does it? So it does kind of...
It's a two songs in one. They do it a lot, and they just should have done the end bit all the way fucking through, and then it would be perfect for me, I think.
Yeah, it's not a standout track for me. I don't think anyone's gone to a Black Sabbath concert and gone like really pissed off on the way home going, I didn't fucking play the thrill of it all,
no
wankers. But it's all right on this. It's got its place, and yeah, serves the album well, but we've had a fucking good beginning, because it's been pretty much out the gate so far with Hole in the Sky, Symptom of the Universe. And
yeah,
Megalomania.
Don't Start, just the beginning of Symptom of the Universe. Let's just count that as one song. It's weird they put two songs together and then cut off a bit of the song and put it on another one before. Very weird. Super Czar, I like this song. It's great, and it still is. This is, you know what this is from? This is what it conjured up images for me. Ivan Drago montage music, injecting some steads into his arms, and then run round and punch the fuck out of the things on that track whilst Rocky becomes a lumberjack. I love the riff. And if you don't pretend to be a member of the Russian sounding choir when this is on, there's something wrong with you. And there's loads of fucking layers to the song, man. If you crank it up in the car, crank it up with your headphones on, you'll hear all kinds of weird ass shit. It's a weird song. And I once freaked out and pulled a Whitey Stone to this song years and years and years ago. And it's still fucking great. Yeah, I love it. It's a weird one, and that's why I like it.
Yeah, this is my favourite instrumental from the band. Second place is Stonehenge from
Born Again.
I think that's awesome as well. But again, there's always loads of little instrumentals littered all through all the original albums, and some are better than others. I quite like the
What's that on? Is that on Volume 4? Laguna Sunrise or something?
Laguna Sunrise, and then there's the one that I don't like anymore that used to remind me of some fucking hoe I used to see. And I won't mention it because she a hoe. Yeah. I think it is Laguna Sunrise.
Oh, yeah, there's that one.
And there's Fluff, which that's the song I was on about, Fluff. Dun 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 dun.
But yeah,
Superstar.
Yeah,
it's definitely.
But this one's fantastic. This is just a fantastic. It's fantastic piece of music. Again, it gives me kind of like a old telly,
old like I don't know. I don't really picture horror, but I picture sort of like a Excalibur kind of thing going on with this.
And like it's classic movie soundtrack stuff. It's really atmospheric.
It's Russian montage music, I'm telling you.
Yeah, with a bit of a riff running under it as well. This is actually that DVD I mentioned earlier, the concert where they opened with
Symptom of the Universe. This is the music over the opening credits. And I'd imagine this would have played over the tannoy before they come on. You know, like lights go off, music...
It totally would make sense. I mean, if I was in some
Sabbath tribute band, say, that's what I'd be saying. I'd be going, yeah, play this over the speakers before we go on.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's like that fucking Good, the Bad, the Ugly type thing, innit?
Along the
same lines as that, but it's definitely something that should have been used in a film. And why hasn't it been used in a film? I'm going to put it over Rocky and Rocky Holds a Tree and shit. Yeah. Am I going insane?
Well, no, don't be hard on yourself.
Well, I'm already there.
Just keep taking
the
pills.
And they work. Big, happy-sounding song.
Yeah.
Paro lyrics, these. Sabbath have a habit of making horrible things sound nice. Horrible lyrics sounding nice. Horrible experiences sounding like nice. The bass is on point here. The bass has been a little bit absent from the mix on this album so far. And I'm listening to the 2009 remaster, and they did a really fucking good job. There's no complaints, it's just the low bass at times. And this was a single, wasn't it? So you got the single version on the album, so yeah, I don't mind this song. I'm glad to hear the bass. It's been a little bit absent than it was in previous albums, so I'm happy it's a good song.
It kind of just rolls along, doesn't it? It's not very heavy. It kind of reminds me of a bit like a Beatles kind of song. You know, you got that like little lead over the top as well. It is a strange song. Again, it's not one that I particularly go to if I'm in the mood for Sabbath. If we was, you know, having a little sesh and we're playing Sabbath, I wouldn't be like, oh, gaze, put Am I Going Insane?
No one does.
But
nope.
Yeah, no, but so I don't know why it was a single. I don't have many recollections of seeing it live either, on video.
It's the less doomy of them, I think.
Yeah. But again, it's still a song I like. It's still something that I, you know, it's not a song I skip.
It's just what it is, I suppose. We've fucking motored through this album. We have totally motored through it. We're on the writ. We had...
Fucking hell, we're on the last song already.
Just fucking...
Mind you,
it was always just like lots of songs pasted together. But weird intro and then some moody bass. And then when it kicks in, oosh, it's a fucking track and a half. The opening lyrics, the way I feel is the way I am. This is my favourite song on the album.
Fucking...
And they saved it to last. Well fucking played. Are you metal? Are you metal? And then it kicks in again and you hear the backwards cymbal. And you can notice it much more in the remaster than you can on the actual album that I had on vinyl. Cats. Rat. New song, linking riff. And I wonder if they ever did this live, because fuck me.
Let's just carry on. I'm going to quickly look up and see if it's the rip.
The xylophone, the fucking xylophone bit where it purposely goes out of tune is genius. It comes on in a little bit where it goes too many people, boop, 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 and it's flat, and it's just, it's musical genius, because you notice it just, it jumps through the rest of the mix. And it's one of the second longest song on the album, and then it fucking feels like 2 minutes, not like 8 minutes or something. But yeah, it's a total joy. And at the end, you get a little bonus. Everybody should go blow on a fucking jug. So perfect ending. Fucking amazing song. Best song on the album by a country fucking mile, in my opinion.
I've got a video of them, doing it live in 1997.
Send me the link for after. And Is there a guy with a xylophone? If there isn't, I'm very disappointed.
I don't know, there is, no. But and there's another video as well, but I'm not looking at it here. I'm not sure if it's just someone's just edited a load of live footage over the song. But yeah, it's definitely, I've got one here, the RIT Live 1997. But what a song. I would say this is probably one of Sabbath's most underrated songs. Definitely overlooked, and yeah, I would love it if they pulled this one out. Just when it kicks in as well, it's just got such a good groove to it as well. And it kind of reminds me of, can you imagine? I mean, no one, as far as I know, there's no covers of this, but I'll tell you, who would fucking do a fantastic cover of it when he was alive, God bless him, is Alice in Chains with Layton Staley. Can you imagine them covering this song? Oh, then they would have owned it.
The other guy, the guitarist, would do the high bits. Do you know what I mean? He could do the high bits, he'd do the other bits.
Well, they all harmonised together, didn't they? But yeah, fucking, they would have pulled this song off. And I can't believe this is 8 minutes long either.
Yeah,
this
flies by quicker than the 9 minute one for me. This is just, it's just the whole package of excellence.
You got the nice little fairy tale-y lullaby bit at the end. Do, 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 do. The little Christmassy bit.
I like that. That's my favourite bit.
Yeah, I do.
I used to play xylophone in school, and I was fucking great at it. I was shit at the recorder, but a xylophone, I could nail it. I can't play it now, but yeah, I was a xylophone master, like Yoda, like the baby Yoda.
Yeah.
Xylophones.
There's plenty of like Sabbath worshipping bands out there. Crowbar, Cathedral is split up now, but Orange Goblin.
Zach.
The thing is with Zach playing, because he's doing that Zach Sabbath thing, have you just seen he's announced he's doing a London show? It'd be a really good show to see him in general, because it's a really small place.
He's put the size of him, he's fill up the fucking stage on his own. He's fucking massive.
Yeah. But I was a little bit, why is he playing it, you know? But he was never, he's with Ozzy, but he was never Sabbath. But then I've read some of the set lists, and it is just fucking hell. All the songs that we get pissed off that they never play. Do you remember when we watched the DVD?
And the best bits with the bits that were after.
Yeah, and it's as if he heard us.
Have some of that.
He's fucking open. He's opening with Supernal and stuff like that. Yeah, he's pulling all the deep cuts out. But this,
if someone somewhere could cover this song and really beef it up, it'd be brilliant. And but yeah, I love the doom. What do you think of that bass in when it just goes quiet and doom?
Yeah, it's fucking it's moody as well. It's proper moody and dark, and then it's just great. And the riff, just for you. If this isn't a song that makes you walk faster and with a little bounce in your step when you're listening to it on your phone or whatever, then you're a knobhead. And you should be banned from listening to All Sabbath for the rest of your fucking life. Because it's one of their best songs, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something fucking wrong with you.
And certainly they're one of the most underrated. Definitely a fantastic deep cut. So,
Well, I know, but the album's about this long, so we can only go on what's there. And to be honest,
it's always the same with Sabbath albums.
We get dead enthusiastic.
You know, it's...
So, I suppose it's time to write.
Yeah, blow on a fucking jug, 10.
Fucking right, absolutely.
Blow on a fucking jug.
I'd say from the first, the original Sabbath, the first album will always have a place in my heart. Listen to the first episode, you'll know why. Is it necessarily their best album? I don't know about that, like objectively, but I will love that album till I die. I think Volume 4 and probably this one are my favourite three of the original eight.
I'd agree with that, to be fair. I think for me, it's 10 because there's so much of them kind of pushing the boat out a little bit more at times. And even the half-shit songs are fucking... the good half bit.
Oh, yeah, even the ones...
It's amazing.
Yeah, Fred of... Oh, it's still all right. It's nothing, you know... You're not going to cut
it
off.
No, because it's there. And it is a collection of songs that they've stuck together at times. And I forgive it. But it's linked to some good memories of the past. And it's, you know, it's fucking well-deserved, 10. And it's not like we're fucking going to rim job Sabbath all the way. I feel as we move along, my ratings might not be as high and probably won't be. But this deserves it. And if you don't, if you value metal in any way, shape or form and you've not listened to this, then get off your arse and buy a copy. Buy a physical copy. Don't go on Spotify. Only people like me do that. But well-deserved 10. There's nothing more else to say for it. I think.
Yeah, brilliant album. In fact, I've got a Volume 4 and I've got Sabbath Bloody Sabbath. And I think I've got a Never Say Die. I've got that fucking one that everyone got when Iron Man came out. I like this artwork, man. We didn't discuss that. I'm going to look and see if I can get myself a Sabotage t-shirt.
I think you can get the print as well of it. More than likely, it's fucking Black Sabbath. They've sold everything. Yeah.
I want to walk around with a picture of Bill Ward wearing tights on my chest. And I'm going to look sexy when I wear it.
Okay.
Bill Ward wearing tights and Ozzy wearing a dress.
Let's just say, based on this fucking album and the way Bill Ward played the drums, he can wear what the fuck he likes. He's entitled to that.
His drumming, that's one thing we did forget. Bill Ward is on fire
on this album.
He's the bollocks anyway on all of the albums.
This one, nails it. Like, and again, that just adds to the 10. The bass was a little lacking at times. When you did hear it, it was good. That's the only thing. Everything else, it's not a perfect album, but it's got a lot going on to take it up to 10. Could we have done without intros? No. No. Leave it as is.
No.
Straight 10. Joe, have you got anything you want to plug, sell? I don't know. Just go for it.
Check out Metal Legion. Go on the website. Get yourself a bundle deal with a CD. If not, go on Hell's Headbangers and whatever you normally buy on there. Get a copy of Metal Legion chucked in with your package as well. If you're in the UK, message us $4.99 over PayPal and I'll send you a copy. I am going to be super fucking busy with that magazine, by the way. I had a little talk with Ricardo, the chief and editor of it, the other day. And not only am I working on the next
issue.
I'm working on the one after that as well.
That's good news.
We're now planning.
Yeah.
We're not going to be busy as well. We need to get more people on to do our Christmas special because we're still going to do it. We're going to do another show or two.
I'll start chasing some
people. Yeah, I've chased up a few people. We've got a couple special in the bag. We need to catch up with Howard again at some stage. Acid Rain are playing at the moment. Apparently, I'm going to talk about it because they said it. Apparently, they played with Diamond Head and they were arseholes. Apparently, really? So. Well, I met them in fucking Bloodstock, fucking Diamond Head people, and they were sound. So I don't know what happened there. Maybe they just climbed up their arse for the night, or maybe they were having a bad day.
I did actually message Howard, and I did say, and I'll say it, I don't care. I just said, you are going to blow Diamond Head off stage. And I don't think that's too much of
I think they did.
A controversial
maybe
prediction.
Maybe they were just being pissy with it, like.
Acid Rain are fucking awesome live.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And if you've got the chance to check them out, because they're playing Manchester and all that soon, aren't they? So do it, because it's a really good gig. We've both been seen them a few times now, and yeah, even if you're not really into them, you'll have a good time, because it's a good laugh.
I would say, you know, you can take or leave Acid Rain's albums, but live, I wouldn't want to go up against them. They'd give anyone a run for their money live.
Just go on before them. That would be a good bit of advice.
Yeah,
because they're on fire at the moment.
Right, so next week we're going to do individual thought patterns by Death. I want to try and get Black Sabbath and Death done, so we can then move on. But it's in the new year, isn't it? And then I think it's the Christmas special.
I think we'll be there or thereabouts for the Christmas special. So we'll step that up in the background.
And we'll have a little break over Christmas as well, and then come out
and kick it. Kicking.
Sometime.
So I've got nothing to say. I will post stuff that I'm selling on Twitter. I sell consoles with games on. Piracy is bad. I'm not pirating, honest. At Rock Show Online on Twitter, The Rock Show Online on Facebook. This has been a short show, but an enjoyable fucking listen. Thanks for you to listen. I'm leaving it in. Thanks, you motherfuckers, for listening. I'm gone. See you later.
Take care, folks.